Spinning Dog, Spin to Win.
Hi, my dear railroaded by the boss listener. I am your corporate escapee host, Shefali. The boss monsters are everywhere. In each company, there are as many bosses as there are managers. And I think it's because managers can't exist if they don't have anyone to lord over or to boss over. We've already talked about how you can manage your boss by learning about the skills that the two of you share or you don't. Today, we are going to step into the murky waters of your boss's behavior. Now, most of the bosses have one or many troublesome traits. And I'm not talking about stuff like putting their shoes up on their desk. Women bosses seldom do it, for obvious reasons. Or picking their noses. Or even coming around to your seat, thumping your shoulder and saying, "How is it going? Eh? I just heard you sigh. Let it out. Go on. Go on. It helps to end." Hey, Shefali, the kind you mentioned, they fall in the sweet and lovable category. What are you even talking about? Do you really know anything about bosses? My boss is a unique piece of art. Only if I had the money, I'd be giving $1 million to anyone who bought that schmuck. Right. That's true. No, I'm not going to be talking about that boss, the sweet and lovable boss. No, I'm talking about stuff that really gets your goat. Like taking the credit for the work you did, being nasty to you in front of the whole team, or micromanaging by hovering behind you. There are a zillion irksome traits of the boss, and only a few minutes in this podcast, so I'll sample only two. Your boss loves to take credit for your work. You obviously understand, I'm sure you do, that you aren't the only one saddled with a credit-usurping boss. But the point here is, the managers usually don't do anything. It's not their job. Doing things is not the job of a manager. Managers get things done. And if they can get things done without making people feel that they were being managed, then the manager has done a good job. And she or he deserves the credit for it. But you don't see it that way, do you? I see your perspective. You feel exploited. Now, I invite you to see the boss's perspective. Do you ever think what your boss would feel if you stepped up and you handed the credit to him or her? Give credit for the management of the project, for ensuring that the evening pizzas were delivered on time so that the team didn't go hungry, and so on and so forth. And then, when your boss takes the credit for your work, what about clapping the loudest? Let the boss know that you're not just wise enough to know what was just done, but even wiser. You'll be surprised to find that you've awakened the boss monster's conscience, and conscience works its magic in strange ways. Now let us talk about the other kind of boss, the nasty and insulting boss. Honestly, this is a tough one. If he's profitable, your company will keep him or her. If he's or she is as nasty of heart as of tongue and you complain, then your life will be made miserable. There isn't any doubt. So I'd suggest marshalling your emotional intelligence in your service and managing your anger. There are tons of tricks that people tell you about. Use one. For instance, imagine the boss as a favorite cartoon character or your most hated cartoon character or animal. Or do what I do, start thinking about what you'd be doing after the tirade comes to an end. Truthfully, when the boss turns abusive, you need to manage your emotions. While you plan to change your team within the company or change your job, but be very quiet about it. Okay? Until, of course, the boss is horrible to everyone all the time. In that case, there is a possibility of all of you getting together, getting evidence that the boss was indeed abusive, and then going to the HR with your complaint. This, of course, is a time-consuming, energy-sapping process. And there is only a small chance that there isn't a single apple-polishing, sucking-up-to-the-boss kind of individual in your team. Well, I'd love to talk about the micromanaging boss too, but I've got another full podcast planned that discusses both the micromanager and the micromanagee in detail. So I'll leave it for now. If you'd like to vent, feel free to comment or email. If you'd like me to talk about a specific kind of boss monster, your kind of boss monster, then let me know. Of course, we can't cover all the traits of all the horrible bosses in the universe here, but you catch my drift. I hope. Now to the important bit. They say what happens in Vegas, sorry, what happens in office should remain in office. Don't bring it home. I don't think that's the right thing to do. Why? That is going to require a whole new podcast. But in a nutshell, secrets don't work well in relationships. So if you don't work with the CBI, the RA, the FBI, or some other organization that requires you to zip up about your work, I'd recommend that you talk about your boss monster at home. Don't rave and rant or sulk. Just talk about him or her in the lighter vein. Remember that the image of the boss monster grows on a diet of anger and despair and weakens when you feed it ridicule and laughter. If we go by a rather popular distortion of Dr. Edgar Dale's cone of experience, I would say you'd remember about 30% of what I have talked about. Unless, of course, you've had some kind of direct, purposeful experience of working with boss monsters, which I'm sure you've had. Learn to make the boss monster unimportant, even ridiculous. It will help you sleep better, wake up fresher, and feel less stressed at work. And of course, if you like listening to my podcast, please do what should be done to stay connected. And that would be to subscribe to The Spinning Top. If you get your content from YouTube, you can also subscribe to it there. The Spinning Top is also available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Google Podcasts. So please follow it on an app of your choice. And of course, if you'd like to connect with me outside this little sound chamber, please visit shefalianand.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you and have a wonderful day.